You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Josh Rogan of Washington Post Intelligence to help me understand the tangle that is the U.S.-India relationship over trade, but that includes over security, that includes over personality, it certainly includes over elections. Josh, a very good evening to you. It begins with a good opening story in April of this year. The Secretary of the Treasury, Mr. Bessent, remarked that he believed India, the U.S., would be one of the first deals that was cut, and there were smiles all around the room. Something happened. Something bad happened. Where did the relationship that has been positive for years from the first term, and Mr. Modi has been very careful in his presentation to the White House, where did it go wrong? Is there a moment, or is it deterioration on the basis of numbers? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, you're absolutely correct that out of all the countries dealing with Trump in the second term, India had good reason to believe that they were in good standing. And the Modi-Trump relationship was well established. They even campaigned for each other, in a sense, in each country. And, you know, you can see why they would like each other. They're both kind of populist, nationalist types who have accumulated power in their respective systems pretty handily. So they liked each other, but all of that has now gone south. And there are two reasons. There are two things that happened. One was this, 12-day spat in May, I believe, between India and Pakistan that Trump took credit for ending. And that rubbed the Indians the wrong way. And did his administration have some involvement? Sure. But by taking credit for ending it, that's like an attack on Indian pride. Plus, the Indians don't like the idea of anyone acting as a mediator between them and Pakistan. They see it as unhelpful. And then so that happened. Then in the middle of the tariff negotiations, or I should say towards the very end of the tariff negotiations, Modi called Trump and in June and, berated him. And that really didn't go down well with Trump. And after that, he promised to double the 25% tariffs to 50%. He said it was over India's imports of Russian oil. But that justification is, I would say, suspicious at best. And these two old stubborn leaders, neither one wants to back down. Neither one has any political incentive to back down. And here we are with the world's oldest democracy and the world's largest democracy at loggerheads just because these two guys basically just can't get along.
They do big business with us heretofore. $100 billion, is that right? Export U.S. And Mr. Trump and Mr. Bessent were expecting 15%. Right now it's 20, it's 50. It could go even higher. So let's go back to those incidents you've talked about. The first one about the contest in Kashmir between Pakistan and India. That points to the fact that the relationship with India goes far beyond trade. This is about security of the Indo-Pacific. India is a member of the Quad. India has always been part of the conversation because it's a member of BRICS. In other words, it's between two worlds. Is that all going to be thrown away? I'm not even getting to the trade deal here.
Right. So the geopolitical and geostrategic implications of the U.S.-India rift are vast. And, India under Modi for a long time has been pursuing a policy of looking toward the West. In other words, moving India away from its traditional sort of non-aligned status into more cooperation and in some limited cases, even more alliance with the United States, Europe, and the UK.
And that
overall,
that alliance is not formalized yet, but it's been the presumption, yes, for quite some time.
Yes, and it manifests itself through defense sales and economic ties and lots of diplomatic things like the Quad that show that India has an interest in deepening its ties with the West as it maintains delicate relationships with its all of its neighbors, but it lives in a pretty dangerous neighborhood. And the problem is that now that the Indian, their government's being treated what they see as shabbily by the Trump administration, the popular sentiment is to turn away from that policy. And now that's why you see the Indian government meeting with the Russians, and the Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi was in New Delhi. And now Modi is about to go to China for the Shanghai Cooperative Organization meeting. So whether or not that represents a long term shift in India's strategic positioning remains to be seen. But the fact is that we had been courting India as a partner for many, many years. And a lot of that work is now going up in smoke.
The visit by General Munir to the Oval Office, and General Munir's enjoying the treatment of a head of state, which he informally is in Pakistan, but he's otherwise a chief of staff. Was that upsetting to India? Did they comment on that?
Of course. And, you know, to be clear, like, the Pakistanis have overplayed their hand. They played their hand quite well, actually. And, you know, by doing a number of things like giving the Trump family members investments in their crypto funds, and including, you know, giving Trump the what he wanted, which was the credit for ending the conflict, whether or not that was true. They've ingratiated themselves to the Trump White House pretty skillfully. So they have a lower tariff rate than India. That helps their textile exports relative to India's. And if you had told me a year ago that the Trump administration and the Pakistani military would be on good terms, I would have told you you were out of your mind. But that's exactly where we are. And none of that makes anyone in New Delhi happy for any reason.
It makes Beijing very happy. Does this mean that visit by Wang Yi is going to be followed up by other occasions? I mean, is China in a position to move towards Beijing really after the enmity of these decades?
Yeah, I mean, structurally, India and China are still at loggerheads, but, you know, they both have an interest right now in sticking their thumb in Washington's eye. And so they're cozying up to each other tactically, to be sure. But even in the short term, that has real world effects. And, you know, when Modi goes to China, that will be a signal, you know, to the rest of the region that India-China relations are warming. And when he hosts Russian foreign minister, that's a signal that, you know, India's cooperation with the West, and moreover, that Trump's threat to punish India won't work, that they won't bend. It's a battle of wills. It's a battle of egos. So nothing structurally has changed in the India-China relationship, but you could see why both of them are pretending to be friends right now, because it's in both of their interests, because the enemy is my friend, and we've made enemies of both of them.
And back to the U.S. and our position, national security position, is there anyone saying this noticeably weakens the ability of the U.S. to protect Taiwan or Philippines or Japan, or is that a secondary consideration here?
Well, you know, the Quad, an alliance between the United States, Australia, Japan, and India, you know, is definitely weaker. There's no doubt about it. And that has also to do with the things that we're doing in our U.S.-Japan relationship and our U.S.-Australia relationship and changes in those governments as well. So you could definitely say that in the race to sort of organize a competitive strategy with our allies to contain or at least manage China's expansion, including in the South China Sea, including with regard to Taiwan, yeah, that's not going that well at the moment, because the four countries that are supposed to be working together are all getting attacked by the United States on trade, and all of them don't like it. And so, yeah, there's a lot of things that are falling through the cracks. None of that is permanent. If we could strike deals with the Indians and, you know, and return to the sort of important discussions of the day, that would be wonderful. But again, there's just no sign of that happening right at this moment.
I'm speaking to Josh Rogan. He is Washington Post intelligence, summarizing where we are right now in late summer with India and the U.S. We'll come back to trade, because the trade number that the U.S. is of broadcasting will be imposed upon imports from India. is meant to be confiscatory, and it is.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.